Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong from Loudwire Nights, and this is Loudwire Nights On Demand. We caught up with Kenneth Nixon from Framing Hanley. This interview aired on Thursday, May 28th. Let's do it. Well, hanging with us tonight is a guy who formed his band a couple of decades ago, and they're still going strong, maybe even stronger than ever, as they recently released the powerful new track, The Reckoning. From Framing Hanley, Kenneth Nixon, man, thank you so much for joining us.
What's going on? Thanks for having me. Like I was saying, it's been a minute. It's been a minute. You didn't have to start with the two decades thing, but it's definitely been a minute. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, let's start with that, man. No, I mean, seriously, what pops in your head when you think about this? I mean, you know, you started making music with what would eventually become Framing Hanley in 2005. What runs through your head, man?
It is funny because I distinctly remember early on in our career how we were the young kids that, you know, all the bands wanted to bring out with them on the road. You know, we were the, you know, whenever we played, it was like, oh, we should do all ages shows. And now, like, when we think about that now, about looking at shows, it's like, oh, yeah, I guess that doesn't really matter anymore because we're all grown up, if you will. But
yeah.
No, I mean, it, you know, to be quote unquote veterans of this now is I still feel like I did back then. And I always joke with my dudes because it's like I remember playing some shows and I don't want to call them has-beens, but with some of the bands where you're like, hey, guys, you've seen your day in the sun, you know, move over for the new blood. And now it's like, oh, damn, is that us? Are these young bands looking at us like that? But, you know, I feel like we're really just now. You know, whether that's for better or for worse, we're just now really firing on all cylinders. You know, I think The Reckoning is proof of that. And this album that we've got coming up as well is even more. So, yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate and it's not lost on me to still have people out there 20 years later that that give a damn about what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, like what a great feeling to, you know, yeah, it's been a long time, but also to be able to say like, well, it kind of feels like we're, you know, getting started. Like, that's just, it's such a good feeling, man.
Yeah. I mean, you're telling me, you know, it's like, I've always, but for real, like I've always prided myself on at least aspiring to be one of the bands that continues to evolve. You know, you look at your Linkin Park over the years, you look at a band like Shinedown still to this day. And it's like, those are bands that, you know, that, and I'm not saying that like we mold our music to be whatever's current, right? But it's like, I think if you're true to your art, then what you are a fan of in some way is going to influence, at the very least, how wide or how narrow the stroke of your paintbrush is, yeah, if you will, on the canvas. So, you know, it's like we've never had rules for like, oh, it has to sound like this. And the funny part about that is we've seen a lot of feedback on this song has been, this sounds like the Framing Hanley I fell in love with, but more mature. And I think that's, you know, that speaks for itself, really.
Well, and you've talked about that in the past that, yeah, you guys, you basically create what you want to create when you want to create it. It's not a formula or trying to recreate anything like that. Has that been something you've sort of learned over time, or was that the mindset early on? Like, you know, we're not going to fit into any box. We're going to create what we want to create.
I think across the board, across genres, those have always been the artists that I've gravitated toward,
yeah,
and been like the biggest fan of. You know, like I mentioned Linkin Park. I think that's one of the easiest bands to go to, is because when, you know, I'm in high school and I'm listening to Shut Up, What Are You Talking About? like, whoever would have thought that band would have become the generational band that they became, you know?
Yeah.
But the reason they did is because they continued to evolve. It wasn't some static sound that they just stuck with. You know, another artist, and I'll give another genre, Childish Gambino. One of my very favorite artists. I consider him a really big influence on me as a musician. I think, you know, that guy's so damn lucky, like, just so, he's like one of the most creative people in the world. Everything that guy touches is good. But
yeah,
I, you know, you can listen to his early stuff, which is very production heavy, I would say, like leaning more like Kanye, to you know, the album with Redbone on it, where it just sounded like a 70s Motown throwback. And those, yeah, I think that I want our fan base to never know what they're getting from us, except for, you know, an honest effort and an honest representation of who we are as people and who we are as artists every time.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense, man. I think that especially in today's day and age. I mean, it's always been true for fans of music, but you know, the idea of genres or labels, like it doesn't matter, you know, like
it's silly, right?
Yeah. There's gatekeepers and whatever. Well, there's not even gates, man. Like people listen to whatever they want to listen to. But I think the biggest thing there is that honesty, that authenticity, whatever you want to call it, that you don't know what you're going to get, but you know, it's going to be that. And that's enough.
I think there's something to be said, and maybe this is me patting myself on the back a little too much, but I think there's something to be said about artists that have been doing this as long as we have that still want to show like, hey, these current sounds that you're hearing from your newer favorite artists, like I'm a fan of that too. And it kind of bleeds through into what I'm creating, because naturally, again, I think that with any artist that's going to happen. But you know, it's also like a little cheeky, like, hey, anything your favorite bands are doing, we can do better. Or not, maybe not better, but we can do that too, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and again, that's going to happen when you have eclectic influences like we do, you know, from Glassjaw to your Gambino, like I mentioned, your Jason Isbell, you know, and I'm a fan of where rock is right now too, with your Bad Omens and your obviously Sleep Token and Bring Me. Like, music's in a very, very good spot right now. And, you know, to be able to still be doing this 20 years later and to have people that give a damn enough to go and like venture out new Framing Hanley, like that's, again, that's not lost on me, like how fortunate I am.
Well, and, you know, I think it's easy to not think of, you know, rock stars and musicians as humans. And what I mean by that is like fans, yeah, your tastes change and they evolve and all of that. And why wouldn't yours do the same? And so you think about 20 years and the bands that I listened to a ton that I loved, how that's changed, how some of that stayed the same. I'm a different person than I was 20 years ago. Of course,
absolutely,
you would be. And of course the band would be.
And I wish that every fan was as receptive to that line of thinking as you just, cause that you hit the nail on the head. Like that is the truth. Like we evolve as people, we evolve as a species. We're going to evolve as musicians, as artists. And, you know, I like going into a room, not knowing, you know, taking this idea that I came up with on an acoustic guitar and going into a room with the dudes and knowing like this could become a completely different representation of this idea I had, just based on, again, like coming at it from different views and different perspectives. And that's what makes it fun. That's what makes creating still so much fun, and not just the therapeutic side, you know, having fun with it.
For sure, man. Well, I'm curious, you know, you guys started in Nashville, and, you know, Nashville will always be known for what it is, but I think today it's really become a place that is home to a legitimate rock and roll scene. And it seems like more and more artists are moving to Nashville, or at least working with people in Nashville. But I'm curious, like when you guys started out, you know, in the 2000s in Nashville, did you feel that, or did you kind of feel like you were doing something
ostracized
that,
or
No,
I would say we were fortunate to be kind of a part of the, when that first started popping off, you know. You got to think 20 years ago, you had your Kings of Leon out of Nashville. You had Red out of Nashville. You had obviously Paramore out of Nashville. So yeah, that's right around the time we were breaking out as well. Also a handful of bands that were supposed to be the next big thing out of Nashville that for whatever reason, maybe never took off. There's a band called Beauty School Dropouts. They were the band that was supposed to break out of Nashville. I think there's a band right now that's called something the Beauty School, but it's not the same band. This band was out of Nashville. They were supposed to be the next big thing. Very good friends of ours. Their singer Jimmy was like, you know, on the Mickey Mouse Club growing up with like Ryan Gosling and Justin Timberlake and all them. And it for whatever reason, it didn't happen. And, you know, then you fast forward years later and Josh, the guitarist from Beauty School Dropouts, is a huge part of Starset's debut album, wrote and produced a lot of that. He did our last album, Envy, with me. So, yeah, I mean, Nashville's always been just a hotbed for talent. And I'm very fortunate to say, you know, I'm a unicorn in this city, that like I was actually born and raised here. And now you're seeing your bands that are relocating here. You know, I think like Nothing More, I think they're based out of here now. You got your The Word Alive now has moved to Nashville. Our Last Night, all these bands are relocating here. And it has been awesome to see, you know, to just know like that's my home. And you know, it's known now to be a lot more than just country music.
Well, is this something you wanted to do, always wanted to do, even as a kid?
Yeah, I think my first love was wrestling. And, you know, like I remember going to the Tennessee State Fairgrounds with my great grandfather every Saturday and watching like Jerry the King Lawler come to town and,
nice.
You know, all these dudes. And, yeah, unfortunately I did not get blessed with the physique of a wrestler, you know, so for better or for worse, I guess. And, yeah, I mean, my father was a country musician. So for the longest time, I kind of resented the idea of music, because we didn't have the greatest relationship growing up. Mm. And I pushed that away until right around high school. And I performed in a talent show in high school. We actually did Cold by No One. Or No One by Cold, rather. Sorry. We did One by Cold in our talent show. And yeah, I was addicted ever since then. You know, after that, I remember I covered Come Down by Bush, which... that's funny, a little bit of trivia for you. I've probably sang that song as a cover in more bands than I have Lollipop, honestly. It's close, man. It's close. So, yeah, it's just, I just had that itch ever since then. And, you know, we walked away, and I'm sure this is something you were probably going to bring up, but in 2015, we went on what was deemed to be like a permanent hiatus. You know, it wasn't a break. We were done. My oldest started school. I didn't want to be on the road 200 plus days out of the year anymore. And, I just, you know, I became a part of the corporate world and, you know, aligned myself with the suits, if you will. And then, over time I gravitated back toward music for the right reasons. Again, it was about, you know, why I fell in love with music back in high school, because it was a way for me to express the stuff that I was going through and to get it off my chest and to deal with that. So it became very therapeutic. Again, I already name dropped Jason Isbell, but that was like, I would say the biggest, most influential person of the last like 10 years for me was just rediscovering the beauty in storytelling and songwriting and getting back to that point. And, you know, here we are now in 2026 talking on Loudwire.
I love it, man. Well, you've name dropped two bands that I've been obsessed with and I still love to this day. And one is Cold, who I just think is so phenomenal. And 13 Ways to Bleed on Stage is such a killer album. But then,
such a good album.
Jason Isbell, man, I think he's, you know, one of the, if not the greatest living songwriter right now. And also just a massive music fan and a crazy guitar player. And I just, every chance I get to see you, man, I always jump at it.
You took the words out of my mouth there, man. Like, he is the greatest songwriter, in my opinion, alive right now.
And I love it.
I mean, just go listen to the stuff he was doing when he was like a little punk ass kid in Drive-By Truckers.
That's right.
Like, he was, his songs were always the songs that you were just like, what? How does this kid have this much wisdom, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, man, and it sounds like you're a fan of just that storytelling, and that's what means so much to me in music still to this day.
I love that, man. Well, and you know, you talking about the hiatus again, like, it's what people sometimes need, right? Like, all right, our tastes evolve, we change over 20 years. Sometimes you also need a break or a reset or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, that's clearly what you needed, whether or not you knew exactly what you needed. And then that reignited this, and here we are, man. And yeah, celebrating this new song, The Reckoning, which, you know, it's officially come out. Fans who saw you on tour already, they're familiar with the song because it was part of the EP Flowers that you sold exclusively at shows. But now I have to imagine, man, it feels good that these songs are starting to get a wider audience beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, this is the one that, you know, we've been waiting on for like a year to release.
Yeah.
You know, we did the trickle down, release a single here and there, because that seems to be the thing that, you know, these DSPs and the algorithm wants you to do. But The Reckoning, I was like, I want to wait till the album's done and we have a formal plan, which we can, you know, kind of break some of that news on this in this interview, I guess. But
it
was a special song that I knew would have the kind of reaction from the OG fans that it's had, and I felt would also attract this newer audience of fans that might not be familiar with our old asses at this point. Yeah,
that's right. So, I mean, let's do it, man. What does the future look like for more new music from Framing Hanley?
Yeah, so we haven't announced this anywhere yet. So I guess this is breaking news, but we will be dropping the album towards the end of the summer. Here, we'll do that because awesome. I know that as soon as I give you a date, it'll change. The album will be called Peace in the Void. And we're gonna 11 tracks that'll come out late summer, and you can expect from pressing play in the first track. I think the very first track you're gonna get a very good summation of all the other sounds and the ride that you're gonna get for throughout the rest of the album. But I've never been more proud to be a part of anything artistically. And, you know, we talked about that hiatus. This album would not be what it is if not, you know, for this collection of guys. This is the first full-length album that the four of us have done, myself, Nick, Stoy, and Matt. And then a big part of it as well is Richie Viconda, the drummer from Fire from the Gods. Yeah. He's been a huge part of just putting this thing together and I think rediscovering – again, my love for music and my love for creating, and that dude's one of the greatest people that have ever become a part of my life, and I can say that this album wouldn't exist if not for him.
I love hearing that, man. Well, thanks for sharing that. And yeah, you know, early on you said, you know, in some ways it feels like you're just getting going, and yeah, I have to imagine that. Like, you think of a band change and the hiatus, and then even after the hiatus, right? You released Envy. The last full-length album in February 2020. And, you know, a couple weeks later, Nashville got, you know, smashed with that massive tornado outbreak. And then a few weeks later after that, the world, you know, started shutting down because of the pandemic. I mean, so you think about all of that and then here talking about new music, a new album, like it really is kind of a whole new playing field, like a whole new starting point for Framing Hanley.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like, you know, you mentioned Envy. That's an album that I think any of the OG fans that, because, you know, we'll post something on social media, like The Reckoning. If you just go look over the comments on any of our posts, the majority of them are, oh my God, you guys are back, or oh my God, you guys are still making music. And the majority of those people have no clue that Envy album exists, because as you said, we put out Puzzle Pieces as a single. And then like spent like 2.5-3 years working on this album, because it's like, this is our comeback album after the hiatus. It's got to be, you know, we got to do this the right way. And then we drop it like 4 days before once in a lifetime pandemic shuts the world down. So, you know, to say that was deflating would be the understatement of a century. But it is exciting to know that, you know, a lot of people are going to find out about that album through this, you know, this single and then this upcoming album as well.
That's right, man. Well, I love it. Nixon, man, thank you so much for hanging tonight as we celebrate Framing Hanley, this latest single, The Reckoning, all that's on the horizon. Listeners, follow Framing Hanley on Instagram, Facebook, all over. And Nixon, man, anytime you want to do this, just know it's an open door here. It's great catching up. And dude, let's do this again.
Thank you, man. Like, I this might be something that you don't even air, but I just want you to know, and anyone else out there listening in the world that you come from, is I think it's lost on a lot of people how much radio, terrestrial radio, satellite radio, whatever, like that's still such a huge discovery tool for people. You know, you got your offices playing their local stations all day. You've got your factories playing their local stations all day. And then somebody hears a song they like and takes their cell phone out, Shazams it. And then bam, we've got a new Spotify follower. But so again, it's not lost on me, man, to be doing this 20 years later and to have people like you all supporting us and supporting the single. And we wouldn't be able to do it without you. So I really appreciate y'all as always.
Right on, man. Well, it means a lot. And let's do this again.
Absolutely, man. Thank you.
That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights on Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.